Yay! Boom shakalaka! There we go! We
I love it.
Live. Welcome to this conversation. I was having a little behind the scenes kiki with Dr. Goddess Giovanni. If you don't know her, get into it. Get into it. Get into it. She is the creatrix of the Black Goddess Oracle Deck and Black Goddess Guide. She is an ancestral alchemist. And I'm excited about this conversation.
I am too. I'm excited about your deck. I'm excited about the conversation. Let's get into it. Let's do it.
Thank you, sis. Thank you. Well, let me just let the peoples know in case they don't know who I am either. And they're like, you introducing her, but we don't even know you. If we're just meeting for the first time, hey, I am Abiola Abrams, aka Goddess Abiola, and I am the creatrix of these beautiful magical decks. And we are here celebrating the launch of my newest deck, The Secrets of the Ancestors Oracle, which today I realize is coming out on Tuesday. I thought there was another week in between.
Just a few days away. A few days away.
A few days away. So if you have not yet pre-ordered, my peoples, pre-order so that on Tuesday you will receive it and in time for our virtual party and, you know, festival. So I'm here talking to Dr. Goddess Giovanni because not only is she the ancestral alchemist, but I thought that it would be really wonderful to celebrate the launch of this deck by having conversations with people who could share, teach, enlighten, empower all of you who are in my circle around working with our ancestors. And so who better than the ancestral alchemist? So tell me about that name, the ancestral alchemist.
I love it. Okay. I know that our time is short, so I'm going to truncate this story, but the short version of the story is in all of my spiritual and religious journeys, the thing that made the most sense to me was venerating my ancestors because they are me. I come from them. I carry a deep wound that I think maybe a lot of diasporic people do, not just Africans, but diasporic people who've been ejected from their lands.
Yes.
And I didn't know a lot of my history, right? I can go back a few generations and I didn't know a lot of my history. And I wanted to bring that history and those missing stories and that energy and that magic into my life. And so I was like, let's go find out about these ancestors. And in that journey, discovered all these traditions where that venerate ancestors.
I relate so much to that because that has been my journey as well. I want to just give love to everyone who's here. Hello, Goddess Andrea, Goddess Sharon, Goddess Marnie, Goddess Terry, beautiful brown queen, Jamaican Dougla, everyone who is here. I absolutely
International Women's Day. This is important.
And it is. Happy International Women's Day. And so the perfect guests actually for International Women's Day are you and Spring Washam, who I am dialoguing with in an hour or so, who channels Harriet Tubman. So this is all together. Yes. And I shared a story in my last book in African Goddess Initiation that I didn't realize just how much I knew my personal wounding around, you know, separation, you know, the obvious things, but I didn't realize that how much, I guess there's no other way to put it, how very wounded I was specifically in this area. And I was watching a video of someone who was Ghanaian issuing an apology, a chief issuing an apology to people, you know, throughout the Americas and throughout the Caribbean, specifically, you know, for the African diaspora, for having sold our ancestors into slavery.
Yeah.
And I cried like a baby and I didn't realize like how, I guess how personal, you know, like on a micro level, like how personally deep, like that I would have that reaction that I, you know, like I just bawled. And I think that it was also, you know, when I looked at this man, he looked like my family. He resembled my dad. He resembled my peoples. And so it's a very interesting thing. And I'm glad that you brought up, you know, that it's not just with people of African descent, but diasporic people,
100%.
Period. And I think that this is important work that we all have to do. And I'm glad that people are doing more ancestral work. people are doing more ancestral work. And so how do you, and I feel like it's with everything that you do, but how do you honor and venerate your ancestors?
This is a fantastic question. In many ways, I've got an ancestral altar right over here. It's actually quite large. And I have been searching, like as I search for the goddesses in this deck, I was, you know, my long ago ancestors. Well, I'll take a moment and say, I think that there are at least three categories of ancestors. Yeah, I think we've got our bloodline, our milk line, and our spirit line. Mm-hmm. And so your bloodline are the people that you're related to by blood. Your milk line are those ancestors who have taken, who have nurtured you in some way, or whose lineage has nurtured you. Mm-hmm. And then your spirit ancestors are those like non-human beings. Spirits, elements, you know, water. And so I consider the Black goddesses to be my milk line ancestors. And as I said, as I've gone to get them, I'm also looking at my own personal, my more recent ancestors. And, you know, it's in two ways. Like I honor them spiritually. I talk to them. I set a place for them. I call their name, the ones known and unknown, seen and unseen. Mm-hmm. And then my more recent ancestors, I'm literally trying to find them and find their names. Like last week, even, I found the names. I was looking for another ancestor and found the names of two of my great, great, great grandmothers.
Yes.
And it just, there's something that happens every time I find a name. Yes. You know, it's like, I sort of envision, this is a new thing I'm working on. I don't really know how to say it, but I envision that we have layers, spiritual layers that we carry. And every time I find a name or I can pinpoint another point in Africa where I'm from, another layer stands up.
Yes.
Right. And it shores me up and it makes me stronger and it makes me more confident, it makes me more fulfilled. And it fills in another piece of that puzzle. And I'm close to being more full in my authenticity. And so I believe saying their names, I dream a lot. They come to me in dreams, understanding that our ancestors speak to us in ways that we understand. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think they're trying to make things complicated. You know what I mean? And so being open and listening really is... Yeah. I feel like those are all very vague things, but these are really things that I do.
No, those are not vague things at all. I think that those are all very specific things, very specific things. And those are things that I talk about in I didn't realize this conversation was going to make me so emotional, Dr. Goddess Giovanni, in the guidebook for this deck. It's not a throwaway guidebook. I keep on telling you all that, like, please, 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 you know, delve into the guidebook for this deck. That's one of the things that I talk about, the ways that they communicate with us. So
yeah.
You know, for example, as you said, in dreams, in signs, you know, they communicate with us in, you know, the people that they send our way. They communicate with us in the way that they are here with us. Like we keep coming back. And so, you know, the person that you meet, that you feel a connection to, and you're like, I just feel like we're peoples somehow, you know, that's them. And that's them showing up and showing their face and showing up and showing out for you.
That's right.
And yes. And so, you know, keeping a dream journal, I think, is a big part of, you know, should be a key part of everyone's spiritual work. You know, keeping an ancestral altar. If you missed our lessons on that in this series specifically, go to secretsoftheancestors.com and sign in, register for free so you can see all the replays for this series and see how to make an ancestral altar, because it is important. Ritual is how we have our relationship with the divine. And, you know, how wonderful for us that we get to continue that relationship with them. So for you, not only, like you said, the getting to know their names, this is something that work that my family, that I'm blessed to still have my parents, thankfully, here with me, and that we're doing now. And it is that way. Like when you find another name, it's another piece of your own, your own puzzle. Like, oh my goodness. You
it's know, like a spiritual blankie, you know, it's like, okay, just got another stitch. Like, all right.
Yes. Yeah. So how do you recommend, and again, this is something that I talk about in this guidebook, but I would love for it to have your opinion on it. How do you recommend for people who don't have access of a place to begin at all to have a name? You know, that there are many people who not only have, you know, ancestral displacement, but their own displacement. Maybe they were adopted, or maybe their parents. I have a client who both of her parents were adoptees, and she is an only child, you know, so people have different levels of feeling completely cut off. How do you recommend that they do any sort of ancestral work?
You know, one of the things I recommend often to the people who work with me doing ancestral work is to start where you're at. So first thing you can do is say the names. And if you don't know the names, you can say ancestors seen and unseen, known and unknown. And that, you know, whoever wants to come forward with that invitation will come forward. And then look to yourself, right? What are the things that you're into? If you're a dancer, if you're a visual artist, if you're a whatever, if you're a dancer, I say, go look at the dance traditions from the place that you think that your people come from. Mm-hmm. Right. If you're a visual artist, go look at the visual art traditions from the places that you think your people come from, or that you know that your people come from. And something, I believe that there's messages in that work. Like I believe, just like I believe our voices carry a resonance of their voice. And so when we speak, they can recognize us. Mm-hmm. I think the same is true with the sort of cultural expressions that we have. If you're into food, go look at the food ways in the place that you think that you're from. Right. I think that's a very, it's something that's accessible to everyone. And you're going to, it's going to be something in the way that they make it, or in the way that they've described the recipe, or in the way that it tastes a particular way. And they use cloves or they don't use cloves. I don't know why that's the spice that came up, but that's the spice that came up. Somebody, there's cloves out there for somebody. That message was for somebody.
Yes.
You know, I think that's a great place to start.
That look is
your, what calls to you, your passions, and then seek them in the ancestry lines.
Beautiful, beautiful. Okay, so here's another question that comes up a lot, Dr. Goddess Giovanni. So folks want to know, you know, because we all have, like I have the most amazing people in my bloodline, you know, wonderful people, but we all have villains in our bloodline. True. You know, we all have, you know, we have angels and devils in our bloodline, frankly. There are some people who I know who have said specifically that they feel like, you know, their ancestors were horrible people. And so they feel like, you know, they don't want anything to do with their ancestors. What are your thoughts and advice of if someone is feeling that?
This is an interesting question. I'm of two minds about this. Sharon says Harriet is her hero.
Yeah.
I'm of two minds about this. And on one hand, I think that you can just not invite them in. Someone shared with me this incredible visualization where when you're calling in and you're creating that ring of protection, that you actually also create some bleachers and you can sit them down in the bleachers. You can invite them to be, but they can't come into the circle of protection. And then I have my teacher, Maladoma Somme, always says, he's like, no, these are the answers that you need to work with. Right, you need to call them in because they need to resolve the harm that they caused. Yeah. And so again, I would say trust your body and trust what you're feeling. And if you feel safe and resourced and equipped to call them in and do the work. And if you don't, sit them in the bleachers and it's okay.
I love that. And I was laughing, smiling because I did not realize that you are a Maladoma Somme person. I should have recognized that and felt that and known that. I was just talking yesterday about now great ancestor Maladoma and how he said that, and we're talking about a Dagara elder and teacher, how he said that his father used to look into the bowl of water and see what was going on at the farm. And I was sharing that with someone as a form of ancestral meditation that they could do. I think that is wonderful, wonderful advice. And so I know we have 1 minute to go, but I'm going to keep you 2 or 3 minutes longer because being that you did study directly with Maladoma Somme, I would love to know, are there specific Dagara related ancestral traditions or teachings that you learned from him that you can share with our audience?
I won't go into the ritual because that will take some time, but I think what I love most about Maladoma's teachings is I studied the divination tradition, the Caritas divination tradition with him. Mm-hmm. He repeatedly, like it was the underpinning of his teaching was that there's not a hierarchy between us and the ancestors. And I know in some other traditions, it feels very hierarchical. Mm-hmm. And he's like, no, they can't do their work in the world without you. And you can't do your work without their fire. So it's very reciprocal. And he's like, and talk to them as such, you know, with respect, but also with clarity that we need each other. you know, that's what I would say would be the most important teaching that I took from melanoma, working with the ancestor melanoma.
Yes, beautiful, beautiful. I'm so glad that we had this chat. I know that you are going to be in Arizona. We're going to be there at I Can Do It in a couple of weeks. Some people here are attending I Can Do It. You have a book signing. Share with people, you know, the things that are going on. Show your
excellent. Yeah, so we're taking the deck on tour. This is the deck, the Black Goddess Within Oracle deck. Yay! It came out in December. We're very excited about it. Yay. And we are I decided that we got to get in front of the people, right? And so we're going on tour. When we're in Phoenix, we're going to do a book signing at Fantasia Crystals. And it's in Phoenix. I don't know how far it is from where the conference is or anything like that. I should figure that out. And then we're also going to be in May. We're going to be in Portland at two places. And we're at Third Eye Bag in Queen Meb. And then we're going to be at three places in Oakland also in May. And so that's the beginning of this tour. I think this will be going on for a year. We will go further and further east as we go, but we started on the West Coast because that's where we are. And I think, what else can I say about this? Well, you can always find me at Black Goddess Within on Instagram, Black Goddess Within on Facebook. And yeah, we're open and love to connect with the folks. I think it's really important that we have like your deck, Adama's deck, the Black Moon Lilith deck, all the, oh my goodness, Spring's book about Harriet Tubman. It's so important that we have these images and these representations of Black female divinity to bring the healing to the world that they're bringing, right? It comes in all forms and all shapes and all sizes.
Well said. Well said. Thank you. Well, I know that I'm looking forward to, you know, giving you a hug in a couple of weeks.
Meet you in person.
Meeting in person. And so we're not only just celebrating, you know, the launch and birth of my deck. Your deck is fairly newly birthed into the world. We are celebrating all of us who are on this journey together. So thank you so much, my beautiful goddess, for joining us in this conversation. Everyone, definitely go hang out all the places that Dr. G just mentioned and come back. We'll be back on at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So that is in about 40 minutes or so with Spring Washam, exactly
it.
Wherever you are watching this. And definitely sign in to secretsoftheancestors.com so that you can get the replays for this totally free and all of the other wonderful goodies that are there. All right. So I'll see y'all in
thank
a little
bit. Thank you
for
having me, Abiola. Congratulations. I can't wait to get your tech.
Yay. Thank you, sis. Have a beautiful day.
Bye. Peace.
Bye.